Thank you, Maria. It's an interesting morning. We're celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus, and I'm going to be talking about the mother who bore him. And she was betrothed to Joseph, engaged. Now, that type of engagement in that time was absolutely as good as being married. You had made a commitment. The only way to dissolve it, there were no physical relationships allowed during the betrothal. But you had to be legally divorced in order to dissolve the bonds of what was that day's version of engagement. And so here, Mike and Lauren are engaged. Congratulations. That's he's doing the, you know, boxer who just won the major fight. It wasn't a fight, but he did win. There's no question about that. Congratulations to you guys and these beautiful children. What a wonderful moment to look at their little faces and their voices and hear and see the beauty of children that God gives to people. I have an announcement to make. We try not to make too many of these things. But two other people are engaged in our congregation last night. My son, Kevin, slept in a car in front of our apartment because he lost the keys to the house and didn't want to wake us up. It's pretty crazy, Kevin. I'll say that. But perhaps he was distracted because he asked Kirsten Mendelson to marry him last night, and she accepted. So. Congratulations. Best girl ever, wise decision. This morning, at some point in the service, our wonderful singers will be singing a song called Mary, Did You Know? Now, I would assume everyone in the room has heard the song. How many of you have? I'm curious. Oh, a lot. Well, a famous kind of folk singer, Kathy Mattea, says it's her favorite Christmas song, and it's so biblical. Let me just read you the lyrics. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would someday walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you've kissed your little baby, then you've kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? It was written by two men, Buddy Green and Mark Lowry. Mark Lowry was a tremendous singer, is a tremendous singer, and was a comedian, but there's not a lot of humor in the song. He's captured the question in the heart of Mary as she has a meeting with an angel. In Luke 1:24-56, it is the follow-up to the visitation of Zechariah in the temple that we talked about last week, where he met with a certain incredulity, a certain disbelief, the statement by an angel that he in his elderly years and his wife would have a baby, a form of miraculous birth, for sure. And because of his incredulity, God symbolically shuts his mouth just for a moment, and you'll remember he stands stunned before the people when he's supposed to pray and says nothing, is unable to speak, and some say unable to hear. And ultimately, his mouth is open to prophesy and sing the praises of God. I think sometimes when the Lord meets us, in reality, there is such a change wrought in the human soul that it is hard to speak of what has happened at first. I remember when, for a moment, I crossed over from death to life from a background of pure atheism into a walking through a gossamer curtain in my heart and mind to say yes to Jesus Christ. And I felt his love. I didn't see it coming. I didn't know it would happen, but it happened, and I was changed forever by the Lamb of God. The Bible says in Luke 1:24 through 56 some things about what Mary didn't know. But it points to her courage, and I think the lesson for us this morning is that she's an example to us of a spirit-filled believer, of a gentle girl filled with an incredible faith. I don't know why. I don't know why she was the way she was. Did the Lord of glory choose her because of her behavior? I don't think so. I think he chose her based on his plan. What do I know? All I know is this child, this youth, had something incredible in her heart in terms of her service to the Lord. You know, sometimes the Lord comes to us and he says, your life's going to be tough. You can see it. It's going to be challenging to be who you are. People aren't going to like some things you think and believe. There's going to be pain in your heart. There's going to be a piercing almost like a spear in the center of you in the course of your life. And yet somehow I am in all of that. I see the end from the beginning. I see life as if it's all right before me at every given moment. And I've created you for a purpose, and there will be pain in the purpose, but like childbirth, out of the pain, I will produce joy. Did Mary know? Mary, did you know? After these days, his wife, Zacharias's Elizabeth, the aged mother, conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, now, why did she hide herself? I'm not exactly sure. I know she was pregnant. Maybe she was 60 or 70 years old. This was just unheard of, astounding, and shocking. I don't know what anyone would have made of it. Perhaps it was the custom of the time. The commentators don't say. All we know is she kept things on the down low, very silent and distant, kept herself hidden. But she did this, said this, thus the Lord has done for me. In the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people. She wanted a child. She was desperate to have her baby her whole life. And we know that when Zechariah was in the temple, that was part of the aroma of his prayers that went before the Lord. Sometimes when we pray, the answer most of the time is not instantaneous. We need to pray, but leave the result to God. I have people come to me that are so wondrously naive. I just love it. They say, Bill, I prayed 2 weeks for my neighbor, and they haven't come to Christ yet. This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. There is a time and a space between the prayer and the answer. And yes, God answers yes and no to prayer. But sometimes there's a waiting period that can be quite painful. But joy came in the morning for Elizabeth. Joy came, the answer to her prayer, that she was to be the mother of the forerunner, the person who would lead before the Lord Jesus comes, preparing the way for him. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. This is a rather strange place to have a baby, although it was in some form of a valley surrounded by mountains. The people of Galilee were known to be straight talkers. They just told you the way it was, you know, blunt, almost coarse in their affect. The way they came at people was rough. So if God was going to send the Messiah, why to this town? Why to the Galilean people who had such a weird accent that everyone noted? And then why to this man Joseph and Mary? They were poor. They were desperately poor. When they gave a sacrifice for the little child that had been born in them at the time of his dedication at the temple, they did not give a lamb or anything of value to this world. They gave the least sacrifice they could possibly give because, as best we know, that's all they had. Very little. Isn't riches a sign of God's favor? Isn't the birth of children, in Elizabeth's case, the sign of God's favor? Can it be that God, in his knowledge, sees things from a different vantage than we assume? Of course it is. So to this little girl, strangely, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God. And the virgin was betrothed, and we talked about that, to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. It's important because the promised Messiah was to come from the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." Oh, there's no better words than that. No matter what life brings, to know that the Lord is with you in conflict, in trial, in temptation, to know the Lord is with you, that will carry you a long way. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. You know, in what way am I favored? I know the Lord is with me, but for what purpose is he with me? Why are you making this statement? It should be obvious. I belong to him. But she was greatly troubled. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold," look you, take a hard look at this, "you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. And you shall call his name Jesus, which means salvation. And he will be called great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." That's a lot to have put on you. It's astounding. She's had an angelic visitation, a prophetic word, talk that the very Son of God, the Messiah, would be placed in her womb. And as I see this, she has questions, but she takes it calmly. And she simply says, "How will this be?" Not, "It's impossible. It's improbable. It's outrageous. How will this be since I am a virgin?" The physical characteristics of the wonder of procreation, the planting of the seed in the woman, how can this possibly be? Important question. And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." From the very beginning, the God-man was different. I mean, that's the most obvious statement possible. But I love the process. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, and there is a poetic notion embedded here. That there's a scene in the movie Shadowlands where the clouds go over a land and you see the land shadowed and moved and shadowed and moved. What happens here, in a sense, the Holy Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, puts his cloak over the event, and an empowerment, a miraculous touch happens that brings life, divine life, into this woman. There is a symbol there for us of the creative wonder of being born from above. Jesus was born in Mary, but he desires at this Christmas season that we know and understand that he wants to be alive and living with us, filling us with his Holy Spirit and cloaking us with the shadow of his power, that we might be more than we can be in and of ourselves. And the child to be born shall be called the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. He's just telling her, if you think this is amazing, something else has already happened. Go visit your cousin Elizabeth, for nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary says this. It's not whoopee. It's not leaping and jumping. You know, greatness is not only overshadowed by the power of the Lord. True greatness in this life, you will see this. It is the shadowing of the Lord's character on the individual. Wherever you see his hand and the power of the Holy Spirit, you will without question see humility and service. Humility and service. Not you can do everything. Behold, I am, she says, a servant of the Lord. I am the handmaid of the Lord. For this purpose I was created. I've always known it. This much I know. Mary did know. I belong to him. I will serve him in whatever way he asks. Now, friends, at this point, her mind must be asking 1,000 questions. Pregnant by the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit, with what explanation will I give? What will this look like, as they say, on the ground? What will this look like in my town, in my neighborhood, all around me, when I, a betrothed woman, am impregnated, that I start to fill, as so many wonderful, beautiful women have here, with something beyond myself? What will that look like, and what will become of me when people believe that according to a passage in Deuteronomy that I should be stoned for adultery if I am found pregnant by someone other than my husband? What am I to do? What will I do with the shame? So many questions would come to all of us: fear, doubt, disbelief, an almost shuddering trembling. Not with this girl. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word. She's not looking to herself. She's not looking to protect her reputation. She has been met with an angelic visit. And if you read the Bible, many were met in this way and met the angelic message with disbelief, not with contempt, but with fear. They would not obey. They would not do what he says. And here's Mary. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. And the angel departed from her. And in those days, Mary arose and went in haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. We don't know where it was, but there's a ridge of mountains that goes down Israel. And somewhere in there, in some small town, she meets her cousin. And she enters the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, and I love this, especially in an hour where some are debating the viability of children. Please, this is not the moment to talk about this 20-degree. They're talking about a 5-month period. Here we have a little baby, roughly 5 months old in the womb. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the Bible records that the babe leaped in her womb. There is some physical manifestation in the heart of tiny little John. Something's going on that is miraculous in nature, a crossing of different planes of reality between a woman walking into a room and a voice being heard, and a little guy jumping for joy. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaims with a loud cry, similar to Diana at a Redskin game. I'm sorry, that's for those who go here. You would understand what I'm saying. But I see it that way. The Bible describes a loud cry. This is no one holding back. It's everything. And Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. And she goes, blessed are you among women. And blessed is the fruit. I won't yell anymore, but you get the point. And blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? This is the wife of a priest, my friend. They were lauded and magnified in their own community. We know it's all somewhat crazy, because what is man, as the psalmist said, that thou art mindful of him? Who was Zechariah really but flesh and blood and Elizabeth? But she goes, why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? She is much the senior of Mary, much, much, far more in wisdom, far more in people's knowledge and admiration. And yet she sees that something internal has happened to this girl that is unbelievable. For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she, listen to this, who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. She knew somehow supernaturally or through a storytelling that went on. I don't know. But she knew that this girl had said, I am your handmaid. Do with me what you want. How many of us have said that? How many of us have suffered, as the Bible says, outside the gate of Jerusalem, out on the streets and byways? How many of us just perform in the church or in the holy surroundings of this place, but we go out there and live like crazy people? This girl, wherever she went, was like this. I'll shine your shoes. I'll do whatever I can. I can for him because I am his servant. Who are you? In another form of shadow land. And blessed is she who believed. It takes faith to live the life. You don't do it in yourself. I get worn out by those who think they're strong in themselves. Worn out. Apart from me, Jesus Christ said, you can do nothing. And this little girl has a power beyond our ability to comprehend. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. And Mary said, we used to sing this song, I won't punish you by singing it now, but she goes, this is called the Magnificat, and you know it, my soul magnifies the Lord. Is this like putting a magnifying glass on God? Is this pumping him up in some way? Oh no, it is her appreciating so deeply the attributes of her Father who loved her enough to do this, who loved the world so much that he brought his only begotten Son into the world, who is so wise and so powerful and so amazing. I will magnify him. I will tell my world what he's done for me, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. I'm just a poor girl, poor Jewish girl. I also am of the line of David in her mind, but what does that matter? I am his, and that's what gives me worth. Have you truly and deeply come to the place of believing that? Because until you do, you will endlessly be bound in the succession of your ancestry, in the power of your checkbook, in the magnitude of your home, and the pristine beauty of your Cadillac, whatever it is, that doesn't cut it, not before God. And it is a phony self-esteem, not based on what he's done, but what you think you've done, which, by the way, apart from me, you can do nothing. He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He's done great things for me, humble estate. Humble estate. In a sense, a nobody, but in God's kingdom and his courtyard, a queen. It's very interesting. We live in a state that's right across from another state. What is the name of that one across the Potomac River? Maryland, is that correct? I drive by a college on Route 15. It's called Mount St. Mary's. Now, we do not make Mary a goddess. Oh, no, no, no. She was a servant and a handmaid. But she was blessed among women. And her story is told. There are, in the Catholic Church, 46 colleges and universities named after her. Oftentimes, those of us in evangelicalism don't make a big enough deal of the example she is to us of a believer who had the faith to believe what she'd heard, that a virgin was going to conceive and bear a child, and he was going to be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. Now, what does she mean there? That we should be craven in the presence of our Father? I don't think so. It means we can have a reverential awe as we magnify him. When we sing songs to him, we're thinking of his greatness and how he can lift the poor up by their bootstraps. We no longer depend on our coloration or our athleticism. None of that. I'm weaker because I'm a woman. I don't believe that. Or stronger because I'm a man. Utter nonsense. It's those who fear him. Here it is. Receive his mercy. And are brought to peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is a blood-bought group of believers like Mary who have had their sins wiped away. They're no longer trusting in their own righteousness, but they fear the Lord and seek his mercy. They're undone by their sins. Mary calls God her Savior. She was aware of her own imperfection. Some would like to make her perfect. No, God, my Savior, the scripture will say. She had a need for Christ, and she knew that in fearing him in reverential awe, he would meet her sinfulness and her brokenness with mercy. Therefore, she gave her life as a handmaid. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and has exalted those of humble estate. Rabbi Zacharias, in his books on apologetics, talks about atheism and what it's done. Godless, communistic atheism. And what it did in our world in Cambodia, in Russia, in China, you name it. Puppets sit up there, feeling they're strong and mighty and all this stuff. Adolf Hitler on the mountain lair. Oh, he was so powerful, but he has been brought down. Mao Zedong brought down. Joseph Stalin brought down. None of them have stood. Not Napoleon, not anyone. The name that is above every name is the name of Jesus Christ. And to fear him and owe him reverential awe and our service in our hearts is everything. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. And Mary remained with Elizabeth, with her, for about 3 months, and returned to her home. He's brought down the proud in their imaginations. He's leveled the playing field. You needn't bow and scrape before men. You are a kingdom of priests. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation because of him. And Mary is an example of what that looks like. Behold, I am your servant. I am your servant. Now, in her service, what she didn't know, although it was spoken to her, was about a piercing that would happen. Do not believe that when life pierces you and tries you and condemns you and people yell at you and find fault with you and don't like the fact that you don't do the same thing the whole crowd is doing, but you are doing what he wants you to do. Don't worry about that. This girl, what she didn't know is this. There is a statue that I think we've all seen. It is an astounding piece of work by Michelangelo. It's called the Pietà. Now, no one knows what Pietà means. What it means is there's a statue, a sculpture of Mary. And she's very stately and her eyes are closed. And it's Mary and the baby that was within her. But he's no longer a baby. It is the boy that was her own, that she laid in her lap and cuddled as a man who was allegedly dead. And there is an emotional connection to that thing that's unbelievable, because what it pictures is the child that you deliver will soon deliver you. The death of the very Son of God, the nail-pierced hands, feet, the thorn covered brow, bleeding for us, lying dead in her lap, will soon rise. And that little girl that brought this baby into the world has endured everything, and that is part of the Christian burden. Brag about my daughter. She wrote a book called American Exodus. It just got one of the highest awards in screenwriting for an action adventure film. I love my daughter. I love my son-in-law. I'm very proud of them. But she got it because of her gifts that God gave her from you. And some of the teachers, Paula Semerad now, Gonauer in this church, taught her to write, and her mom and others. But here's where I'm going. The story is about Harriet Tubman, who ran the Underground Railroad, setting broken people free, who were nailed in the same way the very Son of God was. And she did it, you know why? Not because she was black or white or green, because she was the servant of the Lord, a handmaiden of His, and she was going to do what He did, set people free. And I believe that's why the Lord has exalted that particular script for His purposes. Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know there's a cross for you and a cross for me, a place of death to our selfishness, our ridiculousness, and a life that's been to be lived in service for Him so that others may be free? Do you know that, friend? And it will require death of things that you love, but God is into the resurrection business. I don't know where you're stretched and you're beaten on or where you were abused. I don't know, but I know this, that Son of God knows all your pain and has seen it all as He lay in His mother's lap, now dead, but soon to spring out of a tomb where none of that will be remembered, where He walks through walls, where He's seated at the right hand of the Father, from thence to one day come to judge the living and the dead. And for the believer, He is your friend. And for the believer, He is your comfort. And for the believer, He is your future. And for the believer, He is the central issue of how you perceive yourself. Mary, did you know? The thing was that she did know. That's the thing she knew. And her response to all the pain she was going to endure in the darkness of her life was, I am your servant. Let's bow our heads to pray. This child that you've delivered, Mary, will soon deliver you. Where do you need deliverance? What phony concepts have you lived by that have to go? Are you a servant or the servant of sin? Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired, or are you ready for renewal? Let's bow our heads. Lord, these are your precious people. I know many hearts here, all they want is to see their friends come in. And I know we can't bring them in, Lord. But help us to be your servants. Help us to walk into places that angels fear to tread because thou art with us. Help us to be an underground railroad for the lost, that they might be brought into Canaan, into an exodus to freedom. We ask this now at Christmas time in Jesus' name. Amen.